Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCON, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat, get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Claudio, tell us what we're in for today.
Come on in, y'all. We've buried all the bodies.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone in Radio Land.
We haven't left any arms or feet sticking out.
No. But we've called Hitchcock to come and do a double check. So we're working it all out. We've got an interesting show ahead, but before I go into that, I'm going to quickly announce the sponsors, meet all my obligations so that I can freewheel it for the rest of the way. We've got Mr. Bob Crowley here. We'll be on in a minute. Say good morning to the folks, Bob.
Good morning to the folks, Bob.
He is not here as himself today.
He's so obedient.
Yes. He's here as president of the Apex Arts Council to discuss Arts Day North Carolina and some state budget concerns, which we'll get to in a minute. I know he could roll with this in 2 seconds flat, but I'm going to put a hold to it. I want to mention also we've got coming up the Triangle Area Japan Relief Suzuki Benefit Concert. Boy, it's a long title, but that's what it is. Dr. Suzuki is one of the foremost teachers and also philosophers, I think, in Japan, was also a music instructor. And so this is also a tribute to him in as much as it is a fundraiser for the dreadful events that happened in Japan, both the hurricane and the tsunami. Mm-hmm. God, and then, of course, you've still got the earthquake, and then you've still got the nuclear plant thing going on, right, which at this point tops Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that concert is going to be on May 21st at 4 p.m. Please pass the word. It's going to be at Duke's Page Auditorium. Again, that's May 21st at 4 o'clock. Triangle Area Japan Relief Suzuki Benefit Concert. And that is being put together greatly by Michael Danchi, a violinist, and he also instructs at Meredith College, mm-hmm, as well as Willinda Atchley, who is a music teacher there. Interesting.
You're involved with that as well, right?
Actually, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I will be narrating for that event, and, uh-huh, and possibly I'm told I may also be the MC, so I'm going to change hats in midstream, I suppose.
Okay, very good.
But I'm looking forward to being part of that. Right. I'm looking forward to performing some of Dr. Suzuki's works. Mm-hmm. I think that's the game plan on that. I want to thank the Carolina Theater, who just had the Full Frame Film Festival, which went very well. I want to thank them for being our primary underwriter and sponsor here at Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. And I think therewith I've pretty much run the gamut, with exception to one PSA I want to mention. See, folks, I'm getting all of the stuff out of the way in the beginning of the show so that nobody can point a finger at me later on. So thanks for putting me up.
You were sitting, mm-hmm, here pointing fingers.
I just had two fingers pointed at me. Thank you very much. This is a PSA concerning the Lupus Jazz Benefit. WCOM's own DJ Smooth Jazz is presenting a jazz festival benefit for the Lupus Foundation. The benefit will feature Freeport Jazz, the Jim Ferris Trio, JB and Friends, and Bill Mann. The Lupus Foundation benefit will take place Saturday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the Holly Springs Cultural Arts Center at 300 Ballantyne Street in Holly Springs. Ticket information is available at djsmoothjazz.com/shows.hotmail or HTML. And you can also get in touch with Donald Brumsfeld, again at that same djsmoothjazz.com/shows.hotmail. And that, I think, gets us going. Greases the wheel for the show to begin.
Okay.
So how are things going with you? How's the house project coming on?
It's
this being Audrey Layden, my co-host, we're speaking to here.
It's taking its time.
Yeah, I wonder if you put up any more blogging information on
No, that. No, I need to get back to it. I've been distracted by 17 million other things, but it's still there.
It's usually a big expense as you go, you're making it much less expensive by the way you're doing it.
Right.
Well, then on that note, I suppose we'll have to let this bird out of his cage.
You're going to let me talk now?
I'm thinking about it. Oh, there's one more thing I've got to mention. Oh. Hold on one sec. A friend of mine, actually the family from whom I bought my land in Broadway, North Carolina, where very close to where the hurricane, not the hurricane, but the tornado touched down very recently. Very sad to say that some lives were lost out there and massive damage was done in the entire area. So North Carolina, as I think the president has even acknowledged, mm-hmm, a disaster state over here, mm-hmm, at this point, so... I went by to see Lowe's in Sanford, and that metal is twisted. So, mm-hmm, that tornado must have come down like a blender on that building. Mm-hmm. It's just extraordinary. Amazing what Mother Nature can do. Don't ever take that for granted. There is going to be a gift for life celebration in honor of Janet McCormick Harrington, the lady I bought my land from. Actually, two sisters. Her sister long passed now. Her name was Inez. She is the longest living liver transplant patient for over 20 years now. And the mother of a lady friend of mine by the name of Tori Knight, or Tori Knight Ferguson, she goes by now. It is going to be presented at the Temple Theater in Sanford, North Carolina, on 120 Carthage Street, Temple Theater. Tickets are going to be $12. And Blair Dower is going to be in concert to benefit Carolina Donor Services, which is part of, I think, Duke Hospital. This will take place on July the 16th. I'll mention this again between now and then. For tickets and further information, you can contact Tori K. Ferguson at 919-696-6844 or email giftforalifecelebration@nc.rr.com. And now I think I may finally be done with all this. Thanks okay. for putting up with me, folks. And here we have Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council, to discuss Arts Day in North Carolina and what has become of it and what our politicians are trying to make of the arts in general. I think they're all trying to get us down onto their literary level, so we won't see exactly what they're doing to us. Go ahead. I'll give you the stage.
Okay. That's good. And that's probably what it is. I know when I come on here, we kind of go a little bit freewheeling and we get a little silly sometimes, but this is serious stuff, and it's stuff that will affect every life in the entire state. Arts Day North Carolina is an annual event that's done through Arts North Carolina, which is a nonprofit organization that essentially works with the government to support the arts, to lobby for funding, for projects, for all the kinds of things that make life worth living around here. Once a year, we hold this this event, and we get as many as possible of the senior people from all of the arts councils, theater troupes, dance troupes, orchestras, whatever, across the state. Normally, we get a couple hundred people that will show up, and we will go talk to our elected representatives. The issues this year are so important, so large, that we had the largest crowd ever. We had just short of 400 senior executives and others from all of these arts organizations.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, it was really incredible, the support. The big problem, of course, is the state budget.
And this was in Raleigh?
This was in Raleigh. We meet 2 days. First day, we usually meet out at the Art Museum, North Carolina Art Museum, and that's the pep talk and to go through all of the things that we need to go through so everyone is playing from the same sheet of music, talking from the same page, so that we all understand the issues. And then the second day, there's a small bit of talk in the morning, and then we go and we descend upon the Legislative Office Building in downtown Raleigh. And we had almost 400 of us in there talking to our elected representatives. We all know that we've had some serious economic times over the last few years, and arts has to bear their fair share of that. But we want to be able to, of course, minimize any funding cuts that we may experience.
Mm-hmm.
We accept the fact that there's going to have to be a cut. There's just no way around it. The economy has been bad. It's turning around, but slowly, and it's going to be a while before we get back to the glory days of not too long ago when budget deficits were small and we could afford to do things like build the Arts Incubator in Siler City for about $1 million with Carolina Community College. We agreed as the arts community of the state that we could probably deal with a 10% cut in everything there. We had been cut 7% last year. 10% we could probably live with. Anything more than that is going to impact the lives of all of our citizens.
And what are they proposing?
23%.
Good. Oh, good grief.
And that's on top of that.
Dumbing down of the culture, yeah.
On top of that, they're talking about cutting the general Department of Cultural Resources budget, and that's not just arts. That affects arts, recreation, tourism, movies, you name it. It affects it somewhere. History, education to some extent. We want to cut that a blanket 10% across the board. The cuts are deep, the cuts that are being proposed. They are deeper than we believe they should be, not necessarily thinking here, and this may be a little bit on the unrealistic, but we have to look at more than simply numbers, and that's where I mean there. It's a matter of what we're going to cut. The cuts that are being proposed will eliminate at least a dozen libraries across the state. Now,
and you were telling me their justification for this is, well, schools have libraries.
Schools have libraries.
That is not publicly accessible, however.
No, it's not. No adults can get in there. So now we have about a dozen libraries. What are we going to do? Burn the books?
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury, here we come.
Yeah. What are we going to do with the librarians? The people that insist, oh, we don't want to lay people off, we don't want to lose jobs. Well, you close a library, you're going to lose jobs. There's just no two ways about it. You're going to lose funding to artists. For instance, there's a cut proposed in the State Arts Council budget for grants to artists. The cut is $1.5 million. Fine, except that money, when it's granted out, approximately 35% of it, maybe a little bit more, comes back to the state in taxes. Because when it's granted to the artist has to show a good portion of that as income, so that cuts income tax.
Absolutely. Having won a few grants myself, that's exactly how it works.
Plus, anything that the artist buys for supplies is taxed. So rather than strictly a $1.5 million cut in grants, we're going to lose $600,000 in tax returns. Plus, all those people that were out there benefiting from that are now hitting the unemployment rolls because we don't have the money. Yes, the economy is bad. Yes, there are things that need to be cut. Yes, there are things we could eliminate here. I can think of even a couple of museums that I could say, well, those are marginal and probably should go by private funding only. But we are cutting ourselves right through the heart by doing some of the cuts that are proposed. You eliminate libraries, you eliminate literacy. There's education cuts on top of this from other budgets that could eliminate, from my understanding, as many as 1,100 courses right here in Chapel Hill at the university. What do we do with those 1,100 courses? Now, it's not just a matter of the money that the state may spend. How about the tuitions for all those students that are paying for those courses that now we don't get? So we're losing even more by cutting those. Plus, now you've got professors. What do we do with those? Lay them off? If they've got tenure, do we still have to pay them anyway for sitting around?
So is this just a bush hog approach on the politician's part? Because it sounds a little unthought out.
In a lot of ways, I think that's probably what's happening here. We do have an interesting situation in that the representation in the North Carolina legislature has shifted completely to a party that's not had that luxury of being the party in power as ensconced as they are now in many, many years. So a lot of the people involved are freshmen at it. They are first-timers. They'd never been elected to these offices. So you have the older guard, perhaps, that is a little bit more conservative, maybe even in a radical sense, and they are intimidated by the new guys coming in because, well, this guy's been around a while. Maybe he knows what to do. I guess I ought to vote with him. Well, folks, if you're a freshman legislator or senator, use your own mind and think about this. We want to have business come into the state. I work with a county government in this area, not in the Triangle, General Triangle area. And one of the things that I'm always insisting to their economic development folks is that there's more to economic development than just offering a company a plant to be able to use. When we offer a plant, usually an old mill or a weaving company that's now moved out and gone someplace else, perhaps offshore, perhaps not, we show them a beautiful place where they can bring their manufacturing operations. The team that will go to look at that plant will include the relocation fee folks and probably the president of the top corporation, but it'll also include one or two people who will be the managers of that facility when the plant is relocated. So, oh, great, we're going to get a new plant to do this in our county. Well, those managers to be relocated there are likely to bring their spouses along. And those spouses are not going to ask about how many square feet that plant is or whether they can get help or whether they can get electrical service. They're going to go and look and say, well, I want to take the kids to the movies. Where's the nearest movie theater? And then find out that in this particular county, there is no movie theater anywhere in the county. How about a shopping mall? Oh, you've got to go to one of the neighboring counties for that. We don't have a shopping mall. We got strip malls. Not the same thing, folks. It's not the same thing. So that's why you don't have have business moving into this county. Now, let's extrapolate that and multiply it by the 100 counties of North Carolina, and we have to start telling people that we have just cut the heart out of our cultural center, that suddenly you can come down here, but you're going to be in this little gray place where nobody has libraries, where nobody has education or adequate education, where we may have to close museums, where we're looking at funding for art and music and theater that just is gone, so we just can't have it because there's none there. Where do you think those plants are going to go? Where do you think those people are going to go?
There's actually studies that have looked at quality of life index for communities and how that relates to the economic viability of the community. Exactly what you were just
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely. And the arts is not just, like you said, no one thing.
Right. People don't want to move into a place that doesn't have any of the amenities.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's what makes life worth living, as you were just saying. There's research behind that. It's not just opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I make part of my living as an artist. I'm a writer. I write books, and I've a novel out right now, and that's part of it. So I have a stake in this. I always tell people that writers have it a little bit better because all we need is a pencil and a piece of paper, and off it goes. But I know that there's at least one person in the room here who does a little bit more than that, don't you, Claudio?
Yes, indeed. No, I think on some level the arts involve us all, whether by appreciation or actually creating our wares and our art. And it's just, to me, it's absolutely the dumbing down of the communicative spirit in any community to cut that so deeply.
And I think, you know, we all have a stake in it, whether we are artists creating particular works in particular fields or not. It's, as I was just saying, in the quality of our lives. It's just in the air that we breathe around us, in the attitudes of people.
Mm-hmm.
When they have their lives are being enriched by having available things like libraries, museums, art, it's just uplifting.
It also lends itself to philosophy, to spirituality, to views upon life, to how you educate yourself to view or to understand something. It's in itself an educational process.
We treat each other better.
Yes.
In communities where there is a freedom of expression.
Absolutely. Something tells me the politicians are trying to dumb us down to their own literary level so that we don't see what they're doing to us. That's my analysis of the whole thing, because Nazism isn't too far away from this. That's just speaking as a German. So, you know, I think we're left in this country with one party, and that's the Nazi party. We have the illusion of two parties, but the way they are just trying to put everything in the meat grinder makes me scratch my head a little. There's a bunch of thoughtlessness behind so much of this that I'm beginning to wonder if it's not just a cold-blooded massacre on the arts.
It's come down to money and money and money, and that's it. It's the bottom line. If we cannot afford to do it, we shouldn't do it. Well, there are ways of affording to do it.
And yet we don't want to tax the rich.
That's something that we could discuss for a couple of good hours here. There are things in the budget that are necessary, and we're going to talk beyond just North Carolina's budget for a moment. We're going to talk into the national budget. I, for one, would never be one to advocate dropping budgets for defense. Not aggression. There's a difference. but that's important. There are certain things that even on a local level that you can count that way. Police, fire, that's a defense in a county or a town, and that's necessary. That's absolutely necessary. In fact, I don't understand why we don't increase it in some ways. But let's look at other parts that do affect the arts. Teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You may look at a teacher and say, well, that's a math teacher. They don't teach the arts. Of course they teach the arts. Any artist.
They're teaching how to think.
That's right.
Yes, for one thing. Thank you.
But any artist needs to know geometry, otherwise it's not going to work. If you're looking at your English teacher, well, how are they going to read the books we write if the English teachers don't teach them how to do that and how to appreciate it? Music. All the other things there. There are certain teaching things that are directly affect the art. Even a shop teacher. Sure, you go into the shop and you take your little piece of wood and you make a whatnot shelf. Well, okay, but somebody had to design that. Guess who did it? The artist.
These are things you don't come by intuitively or naturally. They are things that you have to learn. You may have an element that you have an intuition about that drives you in a certain direction, but ultimately you have to be taught what you need to know.
Let's eliminate all art from society for a moment. What do we have left? What color is your shirt? Nobody figured that out. Nobody knew what color went with what, so your shirt is a dull gray. Would you want to walk around in that all day? How about we paint all the buildings the same color and keep them all exactly the same?
Yes.
You know, and make them all out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just
the same.
Sounds
like a prison to me.
It sure does.
Exactly.
We institutionalize ourselves.
Let's have a Gestapo party, yes.
I
know I'm coming on a bit strong here, but this is a morbid picture.
That's okay. I know your background.
It's a morbid. Watch it, boy. It's just a morbid picture on the arts.
It really is. And I'm trying to be the very serious one. You want me to get a little crazy? I'll get crazy. We'll do that in the second half hour, perhaps. But you know, I want to make sure that the message comes clear to the listeners there.
What do people need to do?
Well, write your congressman. Uh-huh. I'll write your legislature. Write your state senator. Talk to them. You can go and see them. They can't stop you there. We took our 400 people there. We went into the legislative office building and plunked ourselves down. We, of course, made a reservation because we had that big a group in one of the rotunda areas. And we had exhibits set up. We broke our group up into 100 teams, each one for each county. Some of the counties were one-person teams because that's all they had there or all they needed. Others, like the Wake County delegation, we had as many as, I think, up to 30 people on that team. We went and saw these people. We went and talked to our legislators.
Can you give us a few names as to who was there?
Well, I spent a long time talking to State Senator Stevens, Richard Stevens, mm-hmm. who I've known for a good number of years. And we had a very animated discussion about what this is all about. And of course, the excuse you get is, well, I'm not on that committee that made that decision. Well, excuse me, but without using any expletives, because those kinds of comments make
no George Carlin here, thank you. Yes.
You may not be on the committee, but you know people who are, and you're there for the final vote,
and you're here to serve the public. Yes.
One of my elected representatives and a friend of mine is Skip Stamm, Paul Stamm, who is the current majority leader. He was not there.
Not present.
Now, whether he actually had something else to do, which is possible, or he was not feeling well or whatever, but he wasn't there.
This would seem a rather important issue for holding public office.
Well, when 30 of my constituents were to come to me, I think I would arrange my schedule so I should be there.
Yes.
Now, Skip, if you're listening, I doubt that.
We hope you are, but maybe somebody else isn't and pass you the podcast.
I would love to sit down with you separately. I'm more than willing to do that. I know you've got a tough job to do, and I respect that. But this is important, too. And this is probably more important than some of the other things that you're doing. This is the basic life of this community. You're cutting the heart out of us if you cut the arts too deeply. Yeah, I know. There's only so much money, and you've got to make a balance out of it. And you always, when you're talking to these folks, talking to your representatives, keep that in mind. They got a tough job. They're trying to make this work. They're trying to balance this. They're trying to say, okay, we're going to have to do this, and it's a matter of do I fund a painter or do I fund a new fire engine that we need desperately? Well, there are tough choices.
It comes down to doing what you do proportionately. Use a scalpel instead of a butcher knife.
Whatever works is fine, but keep in mind that we need the arts. We need this thing. I mean, would WCOM even be on the air if it wasn't for that?
Well, fortunately, WCOM is independently funded.
Right.
We're
well,
independently,
not with much.
That's good.
We're
mind
independently
you.
Broke. That's
yes, there we go. That's it.
Independently broke. Yeah, folks, you should see the studio. They're not kidding.
We got a hole where the keel used to be. Yes.
We are a nonprofit organization, so WCOMFM.org if you want to contribute to the arts locally.
Please keep us afloat. There is freedom of speech. No corporate speak here, especially not on the speakeasy.
And do that. I mean, think about it, few people out there. If the state isn't going to do it, your elected officials, what do you need to do? Well, like I said, go talk to them.
Tell them to go find another job.
Send money. That also helps, too. If you can afford it, there are lots of organizations, whether they be your local arts council, WCOM, the state arts councils, Arts North Carolina, the state museum. All of that. We need this desperately. We need it to be able to bring it to you. And not just WCOM, PBS, NPR, all of those. They are publicly funded.
And they've all been raked over the coals.
And they have been. And they look at what happens here. We lose so much. We lose a quality of life that we've built up over the year. Arts is business. Arts is a real business. We pay taxes. We operate as businesses. This is not just some guy in a garret suffering and painting things and cutting off his ear and all that stuff. That's part of it. But when it really comes down, we have to make money. I always tell people, as president of the Arts Council, I get people coming into the theater group, and they say, well, gee, you know, what should I do? I mean, I want to be an actor, and I want to do all of this stuff. And what's the first thing I should do? Go to acting school? I said, no, learn how to carry a tray with five glasses of water.
There we go. That is the background. Yes, indeed. Yeah,
because you got to eat, and that's the right way. I don't know. Just about every actor I know has waited tables at some point
I
in their life.
I totally agree, as have I.
Just, you've got to be able to do that. So we are in the business the same as everyone else. We've got to be able to make this work. And we count on a good amount of state help. And if we're not going to get it, we're going to have to find it some other way or find our
That is why we employ a government, after all, to govern elements and aspects of our society.
That's an interesting concept, employing a government. Most people don't realize that's what we do.
Yes.
We don't. We hire these people by our vote and say, okay, that's the best guy for the job. You're hired. I will pay you to be my state senator, my legislator, my congressman, my president.
If we don't like them, we do hold the reins. It just seems we've forgotten that, and they're benefiting by it.
Yeah, but what happens? We watch the machine, and we watch the political pundits do what they do. And
ad nauseum, yes.
And out there, we're getting raked over the coals. I was almost going to use another word.
I'm gonna repeat that Robin Williams quote one more time. We used it a lot during just before the vote came in, but that's just totally the way I feel about it. And my mantra, politicians are like diapers and they need to be changed often and for the same reason.
Yes. Yes, and I've met a bunch of them that are full of a lot of things, believe me. And not just themselves, because most of them are. But we're out there working for you through your arts councils, through Arts North Carolina. But talk to these folks.
Are there websites people can go to get
Arts North Carolina? I don't remember the exact URL, but if you Google just arts, and it's all capital, ARTS, North Carolina, you'll find it. Go to your local county arts councils. Go to your state and arts council. Go to your town arts council. Apex has an arts council just for the town. There are a number of councils. You've got Raleigh has a large working arts council there. Those are the places where you can find out the information that you need. If you want to find out who your state senator is, who your state legislator is, they're all on the web. Mm-hmm. They even got pictures, so they can't hide from you. If you just carry the picture around and go to a local restaurant,
Have you seen this guy?
Somebody's probably got him on a cell phone camera or a webcam. Who knows?
They may try to.
Coming out of a motel room late at night,
You know, go up and talk to them. They're approachable. That's why we hired them, folks. Yes. They're there working for us.
We are their employers.
So make sure you talk to them. They're the ones that can make the decision. And it goes for your governor, too. Ms. Perdue is a very nice lady. I've met her. She's a very nice lady. And she'll talk to you if you can get to her. But she will read anything that you send. So write the letter. Write the email. talk to people, create public opinion, tell your neighbors about things that you've heard here.
At the very least, the staff will read it and make her aware of it.
Absolutely. But more than that, just talk to the person next door. Get the public opinion going. You don't have to get a petition up or walk up and down the street with a protest sign. Just talk to one or two people. What was the old thing? If you tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so it gets there. It's called grassroots. It's called we build up from underneath. But the more you talk to people, the more you listen to the truth. Now, I haven't given you a lot of facts and figures, and that's been purposely because I want you to go out and learn this for yourself.
Just to remind anybody who's just tuning in, we're talking to Bob Crowley, who is the president of the Apex Arts Council and very involved with the arts overall, and he's here to discuss Arts Day North Carolina that he was recently a part of, discussing state budget concerns and what's happening to the financial support of the arts and how much of it is being butchered. How far are we from this potential decline in our support system?
Well, the budget was proposed last Wednesday. I understand that the governor either has or was considering a veto on it to say, okay, wait a minute, we've got to look this over again. And if she's doing that, that's great. And Beverly, if you're doing it, thank you. That's wonderful. We need to take another look and see, because there's probably other areas. As I say, this is not just arts. It's arts, education, and probably 1,000 other areas, farm funding. I've learned, too, that North Carolina has a wine commission. You know that?
Making me aware of this. As a matter of fact, tell us about
this. Yeah, and the North Carolina Wine Commission is a very important thing. Do you know there are 400 wineries and 700 vineyards in North Carolina? Do you know that North Carolina, when you go back far enough in the time of the American Revolution, was the largest producer of wines in all the colonies?
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
And North Carolina wine is actually pretty bloody well good. I mean, try it sometime. Well, part of the budget cuts that are out there cut into things like Department of Agriculture, which is proposing to eliminate the North Carolina Wine Commission. This leaves all those wineries with no specific voice in the government. They have to just go through the general pool. We have other programs, Farm to Fork. This is looking at local produce. If you're a farmer and you're listening to this, take a look. They're looking to shoot right at what is funding a lot of the things you're doing. So it's not just the arts, although winemaking is an art, isn't it?
I would say so.
Yeah. There are a lot of other cuts and things that are out there in this budget that we really, really need to take a hard look at and go back to our legislators and say, listen, folks, we're not in favor of this. This is not good. Or, hey, this one I can live without. And look for that, too. Help them out. As I say, they've got very hard jobs. They've got to make a balance here. They've got to look at both sides of the issue and say, you know, which one am I going to fund here? Well, tell them what they should fund. Tell them what they shouldn't fund. If you think that the arts is not important, and I kind of doubt anyone listening to this broadcast would ever think that way, but if you are, then tell them that. That's a perfectly valid opinion. We live in a democracy, supposedly, and we're supposed to be able to use our own voices. Well, use them. Don't sit back idly by and say, I vote once in a while, once a year, I vote in presidential elections, and that's enough. Go out and talk to people. Just because you don't vote doesn't mean that you can't talk to people and build opinion. This is important. This is a very, very important issue. We are down to the bone on budgets now.
Very much why we're bringing it up on radio to get those that would be inclined to move off the couch to do the best they can.
Yeah. I mean, while you're sitting there listening, you can fire up the computer, write a letter, send it off.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. You can find all your legislators. They're all online, and they love to hear from you. They really do. I mean, they're out there stabbing in the dark and
they're probably spending more time hearing from the special interests than from any of us.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
And we should become a special interest. I mean, mm-hmm. Think about it. We were a special interest as Arts North Carolina when we went down there, and they listened to us. They let us come into their offices. They sat with us for a while, let us express our opinions, gave us their feelings. Well, you can do that. You can go down there. You elected the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's your representative. So the only way that he knows or she knows what you think is for you to tell them. And you can do it by letter, you can do it by email, or if you feel like doing it, come on down to the legislative office building and go look them up. They're available.
They and we've always got this radio show accessible.
That's right.
Both on my end as well as Audrey has her own radio show in which she discusses literature. It's now called Carolina Bookbeat.
That's correct.
Congratulations on that change of title.
Absolutely.
So used to be Carborough Bookbeat, but she's just jumped all over the place now.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of Carborough writers.
Absolutely, I know.
But most of the people that we have on the show as guests are from the Carolinas in general.
I can see that.
So it's just changed the name to make it more
appropriate. So you're spreading out because you've got increased funding or what?
What? From who?
From WCOM. I heard they doubled her salary.
Yes, right.
A double lot instead of a single lot.
Exactly.
Latte, is that? Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, that's North Carolina, and
you've given us a great pep rally.
Absolutely. I didn't really want to interrupt this sermon. So
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's important words to get out there to everybody.
Especially since you're in the middle of the mud pile, as far as that goes. You know,
mud pile is the right word sometimes. I mean, it's, you know, people look at arts councils and they say, oh, what do you do? You put on events and you do wonderful things like that and you encourage artists and so on. There's a lot more to it than that. It's a business, and we've got to be able to do the business. I always tell my artists out there that a couple of things. First off, any project that's done by the Apex Arts Council, whether it be a concert, a play, an art show, or a festival, as president, my job is executive producer. And executive producers have only two functions in life. Don't listen to any of them that think they know more. There's only two functions. One, solve problems. Two, get money. Other than that, they are useless.
No matter how you want to romanticize it, huh?
That's right. And somebody else has to produce. The other thing that I believe in is I do not like the idea of the starving artist. Artists shouldn't starve. Artists need to eat because they need to live.
This is why I became a chef first.
That's right. And he's not bad. I've actually eaten some of his food and lived to tell about it.
Yes, he has.
But you've got to be an advocate. You've got to be a part of the solution for this stuff. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
You want to tell us a little bit of what you are?
What am I?
No, we
creating?
Can't reveal that on this show. We don't have room to hear what he is.
No. What he's creating as his Apex Arts Council.
Oh, right, absolutely.
The Apex Arts Council.
Yes. And also, you have an interesting event coming up that I'd like you to expound upon.
We have a number of interesting events coming up.
Which may actually inspire Carolina Bookbeat to take part.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, the Apex Arts Council, very simply, is the official arts council for the town of Apex. We are based there. We do a lot of our projects and our work there. We have a number of programs for artists, whether it be our series of visual art shows, which also ties into the idea of no starving artists, because any art show that we do, when we're finished, we hold an auction, and we do a standard gallery split of the money with the artist. The artist gets at least 70% of anything we can get out of the auction, and sometimes more than that, depending upon how we've discussed it. So we are there to make money for our artists. We have a Writers Guild that meets every month. If you're interested,
right,
come on and down there and talk to us. You'll get a chance to meet published authors and not so published authors and would-be authors and people that just like to read, and who knows who else may show up at the Common Grounds Coffee House on North Salem Street in historic downtown Apex on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Probably even a few that have no business writing but don't know it yet.
Who cares? I mean, I had a guy come in there one time who was looking for a ghostwriter to help him out. And he says, I've got this manuscript. It's about when I was held a political prisoner in Vermont.
Do you know any dead people that can write?
Yeah, basically. I took a look at the first two pages of the manuscript, and it was more raving than I wanted to get involved with. But, yeah, we get a few people like that, but we also get some serious writers, people who have been through
it. No doubt.
Once you've got the manuscript or even part of it, you want to know how to publish it, come on down there. We can work with you. We're not going to publish it for you, but we can give you all the advice because we've been through it. We've got no axe to grind. We've got no money to make from you. We're there just as your peers to work with you and talk about it. Apex has a community band, all-volunteer R&B band, 17 pieces, the Peak City Sound. And they're
speaking of which, you've got a jazz festival coming up.
We got a jazz festival coming up, and I'll give you that in a little bit because I wanted to go through these, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the events. And the first event, The next event will happen on the 21st of May. A beautiful spring day, we
You
hope.
Would pick the day that I'm performing with the
I know.
Musicians at Page Auditorium.
That's all right. We'll get you another time. We will. I still want to do some shows just on you.
Oh, we're going to.
But we're going to have the Spring Breezes Book and Wine Fair. How's that for a delicious title?
That
makes me want to be there.
Oh, it's going to be fun. We are going to be showing off something that most people don't realize. Yes, we are the Apex Arts Council, but that doesn't mean I'm confined and locked into the borders of Apex. If I want to run an art show in Vladivostok, I can do that. So we're going to cross the line and go into Chatham County, and we're going to be at a vineyard in Chatham County on Highway 751. Vineyards at South Point, 8913, I think it is, Highway 751. And we're going to be there with at least 7 and probably as many as 10 authors. They will all have their books. They will all be seated at tables in this beautiful meadow surrounded by oak trees. We will have 2 bookstores available. They're going to bring their wares out to be for sale. So you can buy your book and go get it signed. And a young lady that I know is a baker is going to bring organic muffins and cookies. And, mm-hmm. oh, by the way, the wine master would be very angry at me if I didn't tell you he's going to be offering wine tastings and wine for sale.
Who is this gentleman?
A wonderful gentleman by the name of Guy Leffler. And he's a master wine maker. And he's
well,
got...
Guy, I'm sorry I won't be there.
We'll get you a bottle of wine at least.
I'd love it.
And I hear that we may even get a remote from Carolina Bookbeat.
Might just do that because it certainly sounds like a delicious way to spend a Saturday.
There's a little pond and a fountain and the pond and a gazebo. And we'll have the authors there talking about their books and reading from them. And
I would, of course, be the fellow under the fountain in the pond with my French wines and cheeses.
There you go. There you go. But that'll be, again, May 21st at noon to 5. And definitely if you want to come on out, that would be a great way to do it. And other things happening in and around Apex. I mean, that's May, June.
Let me just interrupt one moment here just to let anyone that just tuned in know that you're listening to WCOM 103.5 FM. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I'm here in the studio with my co-host Audrey Layden, who also runs her own show, Carolina Bookbeat. We just switched titles there. And I'm here with the president of the Apex Arts Council to discuss Arts Day in North Carolina and state budget concerns with the maestro himself, Bob Crowley, who's been on many times, but today he's not here as himself. He's here as the president of the Apex Arts Council.
I'm totally out of myself today.
You're out of your skin.
But June, there's a number of other events being done by other groups in Apex, but July, we, of course, have our old-fashioned 4th. August, come out August 20th into downtown Apex. We have the 308th United States Army Concert Band in full dress blue uniforms. All 39 pieces going to play us a concert in downtown Apex. So that's something to see. I've had people say, well, we want to come out and just see them passing out in the August heat in them blue uniforms.
Right.
So that should be fun. But then the big one for the year comes up in September, and that'll be the 17th of September. We will have the great Apex Jazz Festival, and we are going to have one heck of a time there. We've got 7 venues along Salem Street, restaurants and bars that are going to be opening up to us. You buy your armband ticket, and you go in and out of any one of them you want. And, of course, they'll have food and libations and such for sale in there. We'll have solo players and...
Have you done this in the past?
This is the first time Apex is doing it, but we've got advisor from a couple other towns that's helping us here. But there'll be 7 venues along the street with solo players and pub bands. They'll be starting somewhere around 6 in the evening and then going I can say it on this station, I went until we throw out the last drunk.
Yes, you can say it at the speakeasy.
Yeah.
Do you have any bed and breakfasts in Apex area?
There are a couple.
If I'm going to a jazz festival, I'm not.
That would be the way to do it.
Home that
right?
Night.
Yeah, we'll work out something.
Because I'm tasting a lot of little cups of stuff.
We're gonna do something. But then before that, we've got a 2-hour stage show at the Halle Cultural Arts Center that we're working on right now. We'll have at least 2 or 3 acts on stage.
Any
playing
idea
jazz.
Who?
Still negotiating. I've talked to a number of people. I'd rather not say yet because I haven't signed the contracts, but I can tell you what we're going to start with, and I've gone backwards in this, but it's a good way to do. Up on the big stage in front of the Chamber of Commerce, the old railroad station in downtown, starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we are going to have our 17-piece R&B band, the Peak City Sound.
Ah, yes, of course.
Will be playing for free.
That
you can bring the kids.
Sound.
You can do whatever you like there.
Is this on a Saturday?
This is a Saturday. You come there at 2 o'clock.
On that note, I was going to say, let me plug something, too, just for next week's show on the Speakeasy. We're interviewing the wonderful, the one and only Jen Chapin, daughter of Harry Chapin, you know, Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, his daughter. Mm-hmm. She's going to be calling in from Brooklyn Heights, or somewhere in Brooklyn. I think she no longer lives in Brooklyn Heights. But probably does.
Yeah.
But so we're going to have her on for the hour on the next show coming up. So that's a plug for Jen. And now back to
I just wanted to finish up really quick with this outdoor concert. They're going to play half-hour sets every hour on the hour from 2 to 6 p.m. So they'll be out there doing that. Bring the kids. Have a good time. And what are we going to do for the half hours in between their sets? Open mic. You want to try your luck?
Mm-hmm. I'll probably be walking around there somewhere.
Come on down.
Somebody will flag me. Dude.
We'll slot you in somehow and let you play. You want to play jazz? Great, play jazz. You want to play country? Well, we could probably use a break once in a while. You want to tell jokes? Okay. It's your loss. Because you remember, I want to make sure everybody understands that just prior to the opening of the Jazz Festival at 2 in the parking lot right in front of the Chamber of Commerce building, the old railroad station, will have been the Apex Farmers Market. And there's any leftover rotten fruit, you may get your critical acclaim a little bit quicker than you expected. Mm-hmm. So you're taking your chance. Well, I don't think
anybody. Eat beans. We need the gas, America.
You got it. And we'll have some fun with that. So the council is having a great time. We're working on planning probably for late June an art show. I'm wanting to do a show based on beach art this time around. I mean, you're opening up your new beach house, right? Everybody's going to do that right around that time. So
come in the spirit of Jimmy Buffett, huh?
Sure. Well, even further than that, somebody wants me. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do this yet, but somewhere during the season to run a shag contest in Apex. How's that one?
Next thing we'll be having the limbo.
Well, I don't know about the limbo, but we're going to do that. I don't know. Anybody in this studio shag? I've only seen it once, but we're going to figure out how to do this. And we'll get a beach music band, and we'll have a dance floor, and we'll let people maybe start with a few minutes of lessons so people get a chance and build up and finally have a little contest at the end and see who wins it, and we might have a great old time.
Apex sounds like a happening place.
Oh, yes, man, yes. We are the peak of good living, and not for not trying.
They're trying to make more of that Apex
you got aspect. You got it. Apex is happening, and I think it's a great place. I mean, there are other towns around here that do wonderful things, but come to Apex,
Carrboro,
absolutely. Carrboro's a happening place. I mean, there are more shows happening here, and independent filmmakers, and theater, and everything else. But we got you in our sights. Watch out.
All right.
So that's had Broadway Day in Broadway, North Carolina, same day as the tornado touching down. So come on over to Broadway Day and watch a tornado. There we go. We'll really blow you away.
I think I'll skip it.
And that was poor humor on my part because it was a rather devastating aspect. But Broadway is also trying to bring itself more and more into the 20th century, which is a wonderful thing.
And I'll tell you something I want to bring. I want to bring Claudio down to Apex again and put him on a stage.
And then, absolutely.
Suits me.
Absolutely. I think there's one leaving at 2, and he can just get
right. Oh, that was a sad.
Oh, I sat right into that one.
No, but I do want to get him on the stage. If you've never heard him do Seafarers, it's absolutely incredible. In fact, we've had some other ideas. So we get a chance to see him in person down there. So that's what Apex is doing. In the meantime, I just, do whatever I do. In the meantime,
you can find him at Coffee Grounds. What's the name of that place?
Common Grounds, Coffee House. 219
You can
North
find him
Salem
under the
Street.
Coffee Grounds. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. You'll find me
but
in there.
In between all that, he's out there making sure that people understand that we are responsible for what they do in Raleigh, so far as our budget is concerned. If we're not saying anything, silence is compliance.
Exactly. Right. We are responsible for those that represent us because they are hired by us, they work for us, and it seems they have forgotten that.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to support the arts in life because it is the quality of life. It's not just getting up and making sure you've got beans on the plate for supper and going to bed again, going to work again. I mean,
life it's what makes life beautiful,
right?
And it's what makes it. It's what helps anyone, a child, on to appreciate what beauty truly is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make your voices heard. And that's the other thing, that we've got this very passionate person here.
Oh, that's, I figured I'd give him the soapbox. I didn't really have, I was going to try and do some cutting up and stuff, but it just, I would have fallen right through that soapbox, so I didn't try.
Well, I hope I didn't cut you off too much. Because,
no, you did just fine. I think I'm going to, next time I have you on, I'm just going to bring a hammock because I can totally relax.
I still say one of these days we just got to do a show like that, just goof on each
Absolutely.
Other and tell dumb stories.
Well, I think Audrey's ready for that too. So we've had that sort of thing happen a few times.
You know, I bet you Audrey's got some stories.
We've
too.
We've been threatened here a few times.
Yes, we have.
So who knows?
We'll be the new morning show here, and then we'll take over for Bert and Ernie, whoever's over there in Raleigh doing that.
Right. I want to give one more plug very quickly to the things I promised I would announce. First of all, the Historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. Please support them any way you can. If you like this show or if you just like things happening at the theatre, they're always breaking boundaries at the Carolina Theatre of Durham, and you can find them at carolinatheatre.org. We have been speaking with Bob Crowley, who is the president of the Apex Arts Council, and we've been discussing Arts Day North Carolina, for those of you that have just tuned in, and particularly state budget concerns about massacring our funding for the arts. There will be a concert at Duke's Page Auditorium on May 21st at 4 o'clock, which is the Triangle Area Japan Relief Suzuki Benefit Concert to aid the Japanese in the disasters they've just been through. From the nuclear plant to the tsunami to the earthquake, and I think things are still happening over there. So we're trying to reach a hand across the waters. This is being put together by violinist Michael Danchi and music instructor at Meredith College, Willinda Atchley. They both have much more to their credentials. I'm just giving a quick synopsis. But this will be happening on May 21st at 4 o'clock at Duke's Page Auditorium. We're hoping to have about 300 musicians on stage. That's the game plan, and I will have the honor of narrating some of Dr. Suzuki's works in the midst of all that. So I just wanted to keep everybody tuned in. There will also be a Gift for Life celebration in honor of Janet McCormick Harrington, the family I bought my land from in Broadway, North Carolina, who is very likely the world's longest living liver transplant. She's had a liver for more than 20 years now, a donor liver. Blair Dower will be in concert to benefit Carolina Donor Services, which I believe is part of Duke Hospital, on Saturday, July 16th at 4 p.m. Tickets will be $12. This will be at Temple Theater in Sanford on 120 Carthage Street. Of course, we all know Peggy Taporn, who's been on the show many times. For tickets and further information, contact Tori K. Ferguson at 919-696-6844 or you can use the email gift. For a life celebration at nc.rr.com. I guess that may be more of a website than an email. I'm not positive about that. No, yeah, I think it's actually
it's
an email.
nc.rr, that's email.
That would be an email, that's okay. Email. Let me get it right. Love to be corrected.
Pointing a finger at you.
There we go, once again. I guess that's appropriate. It's my show. Point at me.
And by the way, HTML is not Hotmail. It's hypertext markup language.
Get on a train, will you, please? Thank you.
Well, you said you like being corrected.
Yes, absolutely. I totally do. And we're a couple of minutes away from bringing this to a wrap. So, Bob, you've got a minute and a half to round it up.
I just want to let everybody know that, you know, right now, if you're looking for the Apex Arts Council, we're having a little problem with our website. If you've got a volunteer webmaster, I'd love to talk to you. Anyway, go to Facebook and just look for Apex Arts Council. You'll find our page there, and you'll find announcements about all the events we've got coming up and other concerts that the band is playing, the Peak City Sound, and all kinds of fun stuff. So just go there, like the page, and you should see everything about it. It won't overwhelm you, but it sure will entertain you.
Well, I'd love to thank you today, Bob, for a wonderful call to action, one that I think we will at some point repeat, possibly taking on other issues and subjects. But I think you did a marvelous job really creating a call to action here for, I hope, an awakening public out there.
Mm-hmm.
Audrey, thank you for being the wonderful co-host.
Ah, It's always fun here.
This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre signing off until next week, at which time we'll have Jen Chapin on. Until then, cheers.